Now at 11:15, we have Mabel Louise Stewart coming with us.
Hi. And,
good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, we all missed the sunshine this morning, didn't we? I know I did. But after all, gray and rainy days are special too. Have to live it up every single day the Lord gives us. Well, for me, every day is special because I get to be with you. Say, have you connected with us this month? The days go by so fast, I can't believe that there's only one more day left in the month of October. So, please, grab a pen and connect with us. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get at least another 100 people write us today or email us or whatever is convenient for you. Just go and do it, okay? Well, I want to complete my 10 commandments in guiding children today. I'll quickly go through the list of 10 and then complete the last four, which I haven't discussed. The very first commandment that I've offered was, teach the children using God's word. That gets them familiar with the Bible, and it reminds them of how important it is to your life, and also how it will be to their lives. It reminds me of an illustration that I read in Daily Bread a long time ago. Mike Wood was owner of a large sign company, and literally he dreamed how useful his work would become to the public because he was doing something special. Well, some of his signs were life-sized cardboard pictures of children, which he put close to the street. And besides advertising his business, the signs had another effect. Motorists thought the cutouts were real children, and they began to drop their speed. And guess what? Now Mike sells the cardboard kids to parents who want to slow down speeding drivers in their area. Well, Mike said, we truly hope that some of our stand-ups help to control speeding in neighborhoods around the country. Well, one of the reasons that this illustration caught my eye was my granddaughter Emily and her husband, Kent, have one of those very cardboard signs in their neighborhood, and believe me, it's truly effective. But here's the thought I had. Parents work at protecting their children from physical danger. But guess what? There are other dangers as well. When you read the book of Proverbs, you can see that in the first four chapters, a parent is concerned about the people who pose spiritual danger to their children. Yes, we need to protect our children by teaching them God's word and training them to avoid evil influences that, oh my goodness, that are so prevalent in our world today. So let me go to the second one. Tell them what's right and wrong. That's simple to do. When they are naughty, explain to them what they did was wrong and why, and what would be a better way to right the wrong. Then number three was see them as gifts from God. Truly, children and grandchildren are gifts from God. If you're familiar with Psalm 127, there's a verse 3, that says, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And then down further in Psalm 127, it says, blessed or happy is the person or man or woman or both whose children whose quiver, excuse me, is full of them. And then number four, guide them in godly ways. Oh, yes, you're familiar with the one I'm going to be giving, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And then number five is discipline them. And I'll be doing a broadcast next week on the discipline of children. And then love them unconditionally. And oh, the beautiful example of that would be the parable of the lost son and how the father accepted him when he came back home to be a worker or a slave in his father's house. But the father forgave him and gave him the coat of prestige and a ring around his finger and accepted him unconditionally. Read that story found over in Luke 15. And then number seven, do not provoke them to wrath. And I have my next broadcast will be on that subject. And Ephesians 6:4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then now I am the last four. I will be, rather of the last three, I'll be covering in their entirety because I haven't discussed them. And that is earn their respect by example. And more than anything else, children need to be loved, don't they? And they need to spend time with your parents. And it's sad that parents are so busy with work and extra activities that they allow their children, of course, to take part in themselves, and they lack quality time with their parents. Could it be that parents are too involved in what they want to do and let the children just fit in? So why not consider yourself to be a missionary to your children? And that would be, of course, a full-time job. So I guess my advice would be is to enjoy it for when the next season of your life will be empty nesters and you'll wish them back. I'll tell you what you do. You just ask the grandparents that question. Then claim the promises in the Bible that the Lord will give wisdom and that we learn by mistakes and by experience. And then number nine is provide for their physical needs. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it? When you listen to the number of children that are being fed by the school systems and the local food pantries, you can know that parents are not taking their own responsibility for caring for their children. And of course, there are situations where parents are unable to provide for, on the most part, but many times it's because the parent is on drugs or maybe they just do not care. So let me give you 10 ways quickly to ruin your children. Well, you can spoil them by giving them everything they want. And that's not good, is it? Have you ever seen a child stomp in the grocery store and demand a package of gum or a candy bar or whatever? Of course. Yes, we can spoil them easy, isn't it? Especially we grandparents. Then relieve them of all their responsibilities. Don't give them any chores or any work. Just let them do as they please. Yep, That's a way to ruin them. And then nag and yell them when they do it wrong, but never discipline them. Another way to ruin them. Criticize them openly so that your children will be totally confused over discipline and other matters. And here's for the mother and the wife. Dominate your husband so that your children will have a weak strength, image of the, and respect for their father. And for the father and husband, be slow to anger toward everyone, but refuse to help your children with their problems. Do not keep your promises that you make to your children. That's such a disappointment to them. Never show any outward signs of love or affection, such as a hug or a kiss, even once in a while. Be preoccupied with your own needs and neglect your children. Never have devotions from the Bible and never pray with your children. Oh, my goodness. Yes, those are ways that you can influence in a bad way your children. I could have given you more, but that's enough for you to think about right now on how to ruin the lives of your children. And then last but not least, pass your faith on to your children. 2 Timothy 1:5 gives us such a wonderful example by Paul saying of Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also." Children are so open and ready to hear about Jesus. They have a natural yearning toward the Lord and spiritual things, but they have to be fed. We are each born with a yearning toward God, and we can either accept it or reject it. And in most cases, children are open to God's word and often accept Christ as their Savior. So teach them the word of God so that they can learn from the scriptures. I love this verse and was one of the first ones I ever learned. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 119, verse 11. So share your own faith, how you accepted Christ when and the age that you were. They'll love it. And you know what? They'll remember it all of their lives. Tell them how Jesus has blessed and led in your life and how you couldn't live without him. I know that's the way I feel. Have family devotions. Take time to do it. Make it a habit and learn verses together. Have those verses on the kitchen table in a box and have them learn one a week. All of you as a family. It's so wonderful and you never forget them. And as I end the Ten Commandments in guiding your children, let me share what I think that children need most in their lives. First of all, they need to be loved. They need to feel loved and to be able to share their feelings honestly. They need a mother and a father that can laugh with them, cry with them, and enter in with them in their disappointments as well as their happy moments. Children need stability. A mother and a father working together, sharing family responsibilities. And also their dreams. And they need this without fear of rejection. Yes, children need approval. Teaching the child that they're special to God, special to them as parents, praise them as much as you criticize them. Faith in the Lord is vital. Where faith in God is a reality and not just something that's talked about. And where parents keep their walk up with their talk. Well, there's so many more things that I could add, but I hope that maybe you gleaned a few things or maybe even one thing from this list of 10 commandments guiding your children. Remember, tomorrow's world will be shaped by what we teach children today. It's been so good to be with you. Bye-bye.
Mabel Louise, you were talking about this same stuff. You were sharing this same advice literally 45 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And my parents were hearing that.
Uh-huh.
And it impacted my life.
Really?
Because of what, you know, they were hearing that, what you said about a real faith.
Yeah.
Our home was a mess in a lot of ways, you know, but it was, but there was something real there. They, a lot of times, because they didn't know anything other, they just had to trust God and they knew, and I think that was something you spoke to them then.
Oh,
so,
really?
You know, this
Well,
is,
you know, when I started this, I had gone to my file and I
I'll
found
bet you
that
have a few
and
files.
I thought, I haven't done this for years.
Wow.
45 years, huh? My goodness.
Well, think about it. Yeah. And I was 45 years ago, I was about 10 years old. I was the oldest in our house. So they had kids, four kids, 10 on down to, well, yeah, my word. I think, you know, so, right. My youngest brother would have just been a little infant. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about when the station first went on the air, we're looking back here at history 45 years ago and stuff. That's, you know, boy, you've poured a whole lot of seed out on the ground here over the years.
Oh, I hope it will bear fruit.
I've got a bucket of mail over here, and so many of them say, you know, I listen for Mabel Louise. So thing is, what you're sharing, you know, the funny thing about it to me is I'm listening to the content and the meaning of it, and it's at that time years ago, and I remember when I was just a young adult, and when I started having kids, you know, and Anita and I were thinking about this was way ahead of its time, I guess, in a lot of ways, and yet today it's just right in harmony with the things that I'm learning. And We have wonderful resources now, Focus on the Family and so many of our churches, but the need is huge.
Yep.
And it's still.
And it never changes. The Word never changes.
No.
Bible is the same always.
Yes. Yeah.
And Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and today, and forever.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Thank
have a
you.
Good one out
Thank
there.
Thank you, Mabel Louise.